Hi, this is Dr. Diane Hayden, and I am the owner and publisher of Natural Nutmeg Magazine, Essential Living Maine Magazine, and a group of book collaborations, the latest one being The Power of Coaching, Tips and Tools for Transformation. And we are really excited about this book collaboration because we have a group of life and business coaches from all different aspects of coaching that have contributed a chapter basically talking about everything from financial coaching to relationship coaching to leadership, pretty much runs the gamut of all different aspects of coaching and why you would want to hire a coach, what the benefits of those things are, and a lot of great information about how people can really help improve their lives and go through a lot of transformation to really be living the life of their dreams. And I'm excited today to have one of the authors on this teleconference line with us, Jeff Cavani, and he is the author of the chapter Make the Connection, The Power of Vulnerability Every Man Should Know. He is the founder and principal of Springtide Leadership Development, and his mission is to improve the way we work and live by helping professionals of any level see with new eyes, deal with greater understanding, and discover their intrinsic capacity to lead. By helping individuals and groups notice with clarity how and who they are, he develops their capacity to identify who and how they want to be in the future, and together develops practices to get there. Jeff's approach is to guide clients through an exploration of their assessments, personal beliefs, and thought patterns that drive their range of options. Through appreciative inquiry, personal reflections, and practices and constructive input, Springtide Leadership clients develop the capacity to expand their range of options and chart a new course to a more desirable and effective future. Since obtaining his credential in leadership coaching from Georgetown University's prestigious Center for Transformational Leadership, Jeff has been working with senior leaders in the public and private sectors in Vermont, Virginia, Washington, D.C., Central and South America, and Canada. Jeff has worked with individuals and teams in both a coaching and in a facilitation capacity. So, thanks so much for being here today with us, Jeff, and welcome.
Thank you. You're very welcome.
Great. So, I like to start off most of these conversations by just learning a little bit more about how you sort of went down the path that led to, you know, becoming a coach. Or was there like anything that happened in your life, or you know, what was the journey, I guess, about to,
yeah,
to finding this great occupation?
Yeah, you know, it's a bit of a sort of a convoluted or twisted path, if you will. You know, years ago, I don't even know now. Close to 15, anyway, years ago, I had the great opportunity to work with a coach myself. And that experience, you know, really, really changed my life. I was one of those people who really needed a coach at the time. I was struggling at work, and it was showing. And my employer was gracious enough to make one available to me at my request. And I worked with a guy who absolutely helped me with all the things that you mentioned that I like to do. And, you know, about 10 years had passed or so after that, and I was doing well. I had become an executive with a direct-to-consumer business and was finding a lot of success, but I was starting to feel this urge for some change in my life. Can't really explain exactly what it was. It was just a rumbling that was going on for me. And I threw myself into a full-on change. I left my company and wanted to have a wholly different experience, really not knowing what that is. And it was a struggle for me, that transitional time. I started to do some creative writing and sending the writing out to various people I knew. You know, I had an email that I was sending out, a newsletter that I was producing, and some loyal readers of my stuff. And a woman I know, who I've known for quite a long while and is also a coach, although I didn't know it at the time, she said, "Hey, you know, Jeff, it sounds like you're a coach." And I said, "You know, did you know that I had been coached?" She's like, "You know, no, I didn't know that." I said, or you worry the fact that I'm kind of serious about coaching? She didn't know that either. She just felt like it was something that was coming out in what I was writing. And so, sort of coincidental to that time, I had an experience where I became aware of how fleeting life is, and a friend of mine and I nearly drowned, and an experience that I don't need to go into great detail on. I'm happy to have some questions about, but I wrote about that as well, and that really helped me sort of see something very, very clearly that I hadn't seen before, which is just, you know, how fragile we are and how quickly things can end. And I thought, if this is a time to do something different, now's the time. And so I started really investigating coaching, and looking into all the various programs out there. I landed on Georgetown only after having been rejected by Georgetown. I'm getting ahead of myself. So that's what brought me to being a coach. I sort of felt this desire to be of service, and to sort of help, not guide people, but maybe I'll use that word for now, guide people along their own journey,
right,
just as I have been guided.
Yeah, I think many of us go down that path because they've worked with a coach. I can't tell you how many people have, I mean, I've already done, you know, a few interviews with some of the other co-authors, and I think every one of them has said the same thing. I worked with a coach, and I was just, you know, so amazed by the process and fell in love with it and decided that that's what I wanted to do. And it may not have necessarily quickly come to you. It sounds like someone else recognized it in what you were doing that it was very, you know, similar to the coaching practice.
Yeah, you know, I think I had somehow, it wasn't that I had invalidated my own experience that could lead me to be a coach. I had just somehow turned this thing of coaching into something big and mysterious, and felt like that was something that was, you know, a little out of my reach. And when she sort of said that she thought I'd be great at it, this is a woman who runs quite a successful consultancy in D.C., I was, you know, honestly flattered and you know, gratified by that.
Yeah, that's great. So you started to go, I think you started to get into a little bit about which, you know, what coaching program did you choose to go through, and how did you make that choice? Because there are so many, options out there. I think it's confusing for people who are looking into the possibility of becoming a coach, which school or, you know, program to choose.
Yeah, there's a lot out there. At the time that I looked, my approach was to chat with people who had also been on the same journey. They might not have been actually coaches, but they had explored it a little bit. I talked to a few coaches in the area. And, you know, there's no one way of looking at this, right? There are many coaches actually who didn't go through a certification program at all. And my coach, my personal coach, who I credit would have changed my life, or helped me change my own life, I should say, he's not certified at all. I wanted something to help me feel valid, I guess is the way to put it. And so I looked at a number of them, but really, you know, part of me wanted to have something that had the rigor and attributes of higher education. So I was looking at college-based programs primarily, or college and university-based programs. And at the time that I looked, which wasn't that long ago, about 5 years ago, there really weren't that many college and university-based programs. Now there are significantly more. In fact, I think the year that I was going through my program at Georgetown, George Washington University, or I don't know which one, a few of them added their own programs right at that same year. And so you know, I had looked at a few, but I ultimately had decided that I wanted to go through the Georgetown program, not the least of which was that my friend who mentioned to me that I should look at it, she had gone through the Georgetown program. And so it was a pretty big validation. And I looked through the Georgetown syllabus, and it was all right there. And I actually had went about, and I bought all the books, and I went about reading them even before I applied to Georgetown. But what, interestingly enough, I applied to Georgetown and got rejected the first time around. This is not uncommon, actually. Georgetown has a cohort kind of a program where you know, there's only so many seats in a cohort, and so I didn't make it. And I thought, well, you know, I know I'm a coach. It was a pretty hard email to get. I remember getting it vividly on one morning in November, and I said, you know, I made 5 phone calls, you know, to various people, and then I decided to look for some tea and sympathy, and then I decided to do 3 things: to apply to CCI or enroll in CCI, the
Coaches Training Institute, yeah.
Thank you. Enroll in the CTI program, reapply to Georgetown, and send out an email to 12 people who I know but not know very well. So I know, you know, they would open my email, but I don't know them terribly well, and say, and offer my coaching services to them. And then I went for a run. Mm-hmm. And I came back from the run, and I had 6 of the 12 people say, hey, I'd love to be coached by you, which was unbelievable for me. It was such a huge boost of confidence. And I knew I was, you know, entering the CTI program in December, or January, I should say. So I was off and running. And later on in February, Georgetown got back and said, yes, they'd like me for the next cohort. So I left CTI tearfully, but left it nonetheless, and went to Georgetown, and it was an unbelievably transformational experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's awesome.
It was fun.
One clarification I just want to make, I think, when you were speaking of someone earlier who, a gentleman who doesn't have a certification, but he's been doing coaching for a long, long time. And I think it's important to, I guess, have that, you know, clarify that for people, meaning that
right.
There are certainly people out there that don't have any credentials or certifications that are doing coaching that I'm not sure should be doing coaching.
Yeah.
So there's that. There's also these weekend programs that I've seen are like very short, maybe a week or whatnot, where you can go through some sort of, they call it a certification process, but it's not accredited by any coaching institution or university or anything like that. And I think that people just need to be a little wary of those kinds of things because, I mean, I went through IPEC, which was a good year and a half, if not longer than that, of, you know, coach training, and it's very intensive. And I think that you need to do that kind of work to really be successful as a coach, with the exception of probably this person that you mentioned earlier, maybe because it's something that he's been doing his entire life. So
it's an interesting question, you know, and it's an active debate, as I'm sure you know. And in fact, you know, some of my instructors at Georgetown happily engage in that debate, falling on either side of that debate, even though they're teaching at Georgetown and have PhDs and so on. You know, it's a complicated thing. So my own personal choice was to do what you did, which was go about finding a program that required rigor, and then go about actually engaging in that program with the same rigor that it requires. And I say that because you can get yourself into a program that requires rigor and still find a way to coast through it if that is something that you're interested in.
Right.
But you know, for me, that was the last thing that was on my mind. I was thoroughly enjoying the challenge of it. You know, at Georgetown, it, you know, you write papers, you take tests, you get evaluated, you submit recordings. You know, it's not without its, for me anyway, level of anxiety, but that was what I was looking for. You know, in a coaching relationship, any coaching relationship, more than anything else, the thing that's important is the relationship between the coach and the client. And the level of mutual trust and respect shared. It's very important to be able to have distinctions around what coaching is and what coaching isn't. But even if you have that, without mutual trust and respect, it isn't going to make any difference. My coach, you know, he had been an executive with a Fortune 500 firm. He had coached for over 20 years. When I got to him, he was clearly versed in the art of asking powerful questions, and of deepening and forwarding and driving things forward. He understood a lot of the things that coaches understand. He probably doesn't have the language of coaching necessarily. But, you know, for me, and then after that, for some employees who reported to me, he provided an immense service. Having said that, to your point, I do think that there is, there's a danger out there. And, you know, I opt for certification, and I opt for rigor, and I do so because I think it's in service to my clients, and it's in service to my profession. But you know, it's a fascinating debate. I mean, there are some coaches of great, you know, what's the right way of saying it? Prominence. Who feel like, you know, the notion of certification runs actually counter to the concept of the developmental concept behind coaching. Okay. You know, I can hear their point. What I want to do is hold their point and mine at the same time and feel comfortable with that.
Right. I think it's just all, I think for me, the main point is just to make people aware of what options are out there and just to investigate and, you know, figure out what works best for them and then make their decisions. So.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, sort of along the same lines of just the burgeoning coaching industry, because it is growing very quickly, and the fact that now there are universities that are offering programs obviously just, you know, goes to that point that it's becoming a larger and larger field, and there's more interest and more people that are going through these types of programs. What were some of the things that you did to set yourself apart in terms of your coaching practice and any kinds of tips or things like that you would want to tell people about what you think was important in terms of your success?
That's a really great question. And it's, you know, for me, it's a question that whose answer continues to evolve. You know, one of the things that I found interesting about the Georgetown program was a distinction that it drew, which is that at Georgetown, the program is called leadership coaching, not executive coaching or life coaching. And the point that makes is that that we all have a capacity to lead, and that leadership takes on a variety of roles, and that leadership is as qualitative or more, perhaps more qualitative than quantitative. And so what we do is it's very similar to some level coaching is coaching. But what I say is that I don't draw a distinction between being an executive and being a person. So that already set me apart a little bit. I know that sounded, I'm not as satisfied with that answer as I imagine you must not be, but it just helped me, start to think of coaching from a niche perspective rather than a sort of a broad brush perspective. Mm-hmm. But when I left Georgetown, when I graduated from the program, I felt adrift. I mean, I completely felt adrift and not sure what to do next. And all I really did was work my network, and see what my network would provide and trust in my network. And from that has come something of more clarity, which is really around helping executive teams gain a greater level of functionality. You might call it team coaching, but it takes on a variety of forms, but it's really focusing on executive teams.
Mm-hmm.
Or working with young non-management people to help them gain the sort of the language and distinctions of leadership. Those are two of my passions that they don't really come together to form a niche. I couldn't write a mission statement around that, but that's what I do most of, and that's where I find my new clients. I got some really great advice when I first started out from an HR director at my former company. Or the HR director of our former company, she said that, because she's in a position to hire coaches, and she said that, coaching can't be sold. It grows from word of mouth.
Mm-hmm.
We make a coaching decision based on the connection we can make with the coach, and the selling experience. It doesn't break the connection, but it can somehow work against it in some way. And so when she told me that, I read that as permission to not try to sell coaching, but simply work my network. And so I don't know, does that answer your question?
Well, it's, yes, in a way, because I think that there are definitely people that are going to be in your position. I would say more often than not, I find that most coaches maybe don't have the kind of network that you have or didn't
Yep.
start out that way but had to build it. So,
Yep.
and they're doing more life coaching style. So they're not necessarily going into and networking with, bigger companies and HR directors and things like that. So I'm glad that you brought that up, because I think that's definitely, a different type of niche, I'll say, for coaches that do have a network that you have, and good information for them in terms of how to work that network.
Right. I think that, I'll give you, by way of example, a woman I know who's a coach out in the Arizona Phoenix market was wrestling with a niche felt like she had made her niche really narrow and was trying to figure out how to succeed in her narrow niche. And I was, my question was, why do you need to make your niche narrow? What else can you have, value in? And that question for her was really helpful. She started to see her coaching offer as being valid in all sorts of areas. I think it depends. Some people thrive with a niche. You know, I know a woman who is a financial coach. I know another woman who's an education coach. And they, it gives them great comfort, and they're finding great success there. Maybe I'm the kind of person who is sort of chased at niches a little bit, feels a little hemmed in by them, and would want to make sure that I can follow the client where they want to go.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's a matter of taste and comfort, and there's no one right answer to it.
Right, and I think I like what you said about following the client where they need to go. I think the purpose of a niche is really just to make yourself stand out from the crowd and be really focused on your marketing efforts. Who you get for clients, I mean, 9 times out of 10, what they come to you for coaching is not what you end up working on.
Right.
So being able to shift and change with what their needs are, certainly that's one of the things that you have to do. And I also think it probably provides some comfort to the people that are afraid of getting confined into a niche, you know, like, oh, I don't want to have to work with this exact person and this exact issue every single time. Well, chances are that's probably never going to happen, because in coaching, it's really about the person as a whole. So you could go down many different paths, and you know, you may not necessarily be always working on the same issues with people.
And what's interesting about that, I think that ties a bit back to the previous question around certification. To your point around these certification programs that take place over a weekend. You know, one of the things that I really loved about Georgetown in my pre-enrolling interviews was that Georgetown had and still has a strict anti-guru policy, right? They expose coaches to the fullest range of coaching possibilities. And, you know, we read 12 books and, you know, we're learning a lot about different approaches to coaching. If you go to one of these weekend programs, they're going to tend to want to teach you a very strict style of coaching, and it leads to a very specialized way of looking at things. And may tend to, this is my own bias perhaps, may tend to keep you from meeting the client where they are. It might be the thing that is between you and the client. And I don't want to do that. The minute I find myself working a system or adhering to one way of looking at the human system, I stop myself and I get curious about why I'm doing that. And I wonder what I'm missing by doing that.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's a great point. I totally agree with that. And I guess maybe as you were talking, I was listening to you say the word certification, I was thinking to myself, you know, I don't want people to get confused, because when you talk about becoming a certified coach, that is a level of testing and things that you have to go through after you've already gone through an accredited program.
Yeah,
so
thank you.
Then you can take another step and become, so you can basically go through CPI or, you know, IPEC or even, you know, go through a university program and, you know, come out with, let's call it a coaching degree. But that doesn't necessarily mean that you're certified through the International Coach Federation. So
that's right,
another level. I think that some of these people that are teaching these week-long things or weekend or whatever, they're calling them a certification, but it's really just a certification for their program.
Not anything
that's accredited through, you know, an international federation.
That's right. I'm pretty fluid with these terms, so thank you for...
Well, I said it too. So, and then as you said it back, I thought, you know, I really should clarify this, because I don't want people to get confused on what we mean as a certain, you know, to be a certified coach. So let's talk a little bit about your chapter, which I thought was fascinating, and you know, I love the way that you set it up, as you know, as far as this whole story that you told, and so do you want to, you know, give people a little insight into what you do as a coach in your work and how that chapter came about.
Well, you know, so for me, as a coach, like I said, I don't have one kind of methodology. I do have a process. It's really basically, you know, very simple and straightforward. It's about, you know, making an assessment, getting ourselves oriented together, the coach or the client, creating a goal. It's a behavior change goal, life change goal, whatever that goal might be, a change goal, a developmental goal, and then declaring that goal in some way that is meaningful for the client, and then practicing the new behavior and integrating that new behavior into your normal everyday being. That's my process. But my real, what I really do behind the scenes is work very, very hard to make a deep connection with my client, to meet them where they are, and to really walk shoulder to shoulder with them on their journey. And, you know, you may have noticed in this conversation that I can tend to be somewhat garbled in my language. So I won't, you know, label that process as much as it's, you know, what I try to be is in service to them and make a deep connection with them. What I can be better at is doing that with as little language as possible. One of my coaches, a coach mentor of mine at Georgetown, is this wonderful, wonderful coach who would spend what felt like eons with me. It may have been 5 minutes or 3 minutes or even a minute of just complete silence, just being with me. And, you know, at first it kind of, I wasn't quite sure what she was doing, and then after a while, these long breaks that she gave me were so foundational to my growth with her, and I could feel me really connecting with her. So the chapter I write, Making the Connection, or Makes the Connection, is really about that, about opening yourself up to the other things that are available to you that aren't expressed through language, that are really expressed through letting, you know, your energy connect with somebody else's energy. And in order to do that, in order to make that connection, one must first let down their guard. And it's, you know, that's a big ask for somebody to let down their guard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I relate, you know, in my chapter, it's really a personal story of two different times in my life when, you know, I let go of things and let everything else rush in, and how profound those experiences were. And now, you know, coaches get good at practicing what they preach, or at least good coaches get good at practicing what they preach. And I, you know, I find myself letting my guard down, or at least I should say it this way, I find myself noticing that my guard is up and then working hard to let it down and let in what's available to me. And how much growth can come from that. So I don't know how much you want me to tell of a story. It's sort of this, you know, I am a guy, and so, you know, rock and roll and you know, Native Americans are interesting to me. That's not just a guy thing, but it sounds that way to me sometimes. And at least Pink Floyd factors into my chapter. I relate having gone to see Roger Waters perform The Wall at Fenway Park, which was an utterly, still remains a vivid memory for me, but one of a profound vulnerability. And sitting there listening to Roger Waters tell his story of disconnection, and crying, feeling like, my goodness, this is the coaching story that he's telling. I wouldn't have known that when I first saw The Wall back when I was in high school, but seeing him perform it only a few years ago, it was such an amazing experience for me. And then 5 or 10 months later, you know, going with a group of Ojibwa Indians or Native Americans and European executives on a journey in Utah and having a very similar experience of letting my guard down and letting myself be vulnerable and listening to everything else that's said without words. It was just, I say it now and I still feel my heart skip a beat when I think about it. I feel like I'm just sort of extemporaneously relating different anecdotes. What else, what can I tell you about the chapter?
No, that was perfect. That was perfect. And I think that we don't want to tell too much because then people won't have to read the book. But I think you told us enough to make, you know, people very intrigued and especially relating it from a male perspective, for sure. One thing I wanted to also reiterate that you said was the coach that you had that gave you that space to just, you know, not have to fill it with words. And I think that that's something that great coaches do. And I think it's hard, it's difficult because the coach and probably the client people sometimes are not comfortable with silence, and so they want to just fill it with, you know, whatever words,
yeah,
obviously. And so, but in that time, that's when I think some of the most profound things happen, is when the coach is holding that space for you, and you don't need to talk, and you can actually just relax and, you know, really process whether a question was just asked or something that you said or anything else that might be coming up.
Yeah, I mean, you know, one of the things that I love about coaching is that to be a coach is to commit to lifelong learning. And so for me, you know, I'm always asking myself, what lesson am I most interested in learning today? And or not today, but right now in my work. And, you know, my first lesson that was really hard for me to learn, and I still find myself learning it, is really meeting the client where they are, really, really coming to them, not making them come to you. You know, we learn things in all sorts of ways, not the least of which is through pain. And so I've had experiences where I have not met the client where they are, and they've let me know it. And now I feel like, in addition to that, my learning is to let the silence work its magic. You know, I get anxious when I feel like a client is struggling with a question I ask, and or when I feel as if that we're not together. And so I'm a human being. I tend to fill that silence with my chatter. And I'm working on letting myself get more and more quiet and and this is what I say in the chapter, let my body do the talking. And it's interesting, even as I was saying that out loud, I hear myself get a little, I believe it, I feel it, I've been there, but for me to actually wrap my head around it, it still takes some time for me to do that.
Oh, yeah. I think everybody would. Most people would say that.
Yeah.
Definitely. Well, that's great. So how can people get a hold of you if they have further questions or are interested in your coaching services? If you want to give your website and then just how, you know, you want people to connect with you?
Yeah, I mean, by all means, I live in Vermont. So that puts me a little bit in the coaching backwater. I live in Burlington, Vermont, though I'm pleased to say that I've been happily building my practice here. But I work, as I said, pointed out in the introduction, I've worked with people all over the place, Europe and South America and so on. Visit my website at springtideleadership.com. That's SPRINGTIDE, all one word, springtideleadership.com. And on it, you'll learn a bit more about my process. My email address is on there. My business phone number is a toll number, 802-318-1252. And, you know, I'd be happy to chat. I don't have one way of doing things. I typically customize a solution for my clients. And we'll talk.
Yeah, that sounds great. And I just want to clarify also, I know we talked a lot about that you do work with companies and HR departments, but you also work with individual clients as well, so you don't have to be part of a corporate setting to work with you.
That's right. I mean, totally. The engagement changes depending upon whether it's with a corporation or not, and the rate changes as well. And I can explain all that when you get to it.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for being on the call with us today. I'm sure that people are definitely intrigued to read more about your story and your chapter. And I know I loved it, thought it was amazing. And like I said, it's very interesting from the male perspective, that's for sure. So I'm sure that people will be picking up a book for that. And as you said, people can visit your website, springtideleadership.com, and get in more information about you and contact you for coaching. And thanks again, and hope you have a great day today.
Thank you.
Talk to you soon.
Yeah, bye-bye.